But we're looking at this topic of Emmanuel. And this is a topic, you know, it's common at Christmas time. We pick a lot of Christmas themes to look at. And, you know, I'm looking at it from a different angle. Life Church, I was browsing through some of their articles, and it kind of sparked this little idea. So we're going to go with that. You know, it's a powerful revelation when, you know, we become aware of what Emmanuel means, and it means God with us. But I found out in my life that it's even better when I get the revelation it's God with me, because we need to make it personal. A lot of times in our walk with God, we kind of keep God at arm's length, but we need to make sure that it's a personal relationship with Him, because God has created you and I each for a purpose, and that purpose is to worship Him. Now, that doesn't mean we just do that in church, because we need to take our worship and bring it outside of the building, out into the world. That's why Jesus Christ is glorified. And I think together you and I can make Jesus a reality in the world. When I got saved and just started to go to Bible school, I believe God spoke to me that I was supposed to take the fantasy of church and make it a reality in the world. Meaning we don't hide behind the doors and just kind of live out our faith here, and then we go out in the world and we act differently, because that's sometimes what happens. You know, I think that, you know, after we come into relationship with Jesus Christ, we need to get to the point in our life and our walk with God that we learn how to practice the presence of God. Now, in part one of this series, we looked at a couple weeks ago that we praise God on the mountain, but we worship Him in the valley. We praise Him on the mountain, and we worship Him in the valley. And what I got from that is the fact that sometimes pain will push us towards God. Pain's in our life, and it should. Now, a lot of time, pain will push people away from God, and they go the wrong direction. But we don't need to be like that. We need to make sure that we're heading towards God and looking to Him for the answer. Our main scripture text is found in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. It says, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated means God with us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the opportunity You've given us today to come to You to worship You. Lord God, we thank You so much for the power of Your Spirit just working in our hearts today. Lord, we thank You that we celebrate at this time of year the giving of gifts. And Lord, we know the greatest gift that You've given us was Jesus Christ. And Lord, right now I just also yield to the gift You have given me that You put inside me. Lord, I want to use that gift for Your glory. And I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God is a good God. And we're going to look at this from a different angle today that the Lord kind of spoke to me about. And we're going to look at it from the angle that take your God to work day. Take your God to work day. Because a lot of times, like I say, we just kind of worship God in the building. And then when we go out into the world, we have a hard time navigating through life and be able to bring the God experience out into the world. Now, I don't know about you, but I think work is good. Work is good. Now, work is a four-letter word, but it's not a bad four-letter word to me. I like work. I think it's good to go out and, you know, do things. I don't think it's good and healthy for anybody to sit on the couch all day and just kind of, you know, hang out. You know, we need to get up, we need to go out, and we need to do things. Because for me in my life, I know that work will bring fulfillment. When I do things, you know, it just kind of makes me feel good about myself and makes me feel good about the things that I'm involved with, because I think as we honor God with our hands, you know, it's very important. You know, I remember in Denver when we lived out there that we played on a volleyball team. My wife and I did a co-ed team. And the team that we played against, you know, they had a little system, and they would quote the scripture, whatever God puts your hand to do. Then they would clap and they say, do it with all their might. And they did that all the time. We beat them, you know, so it didn't help them. But yet, nevertheless, I always thought that was a good saying. You know, we were the 20-somethings. They were the 30 to 40-somethings. So age must have played into it. But, you know, we had a good time. It was a good fun time. So, but I do know that not everybody likes their job. You know, I get a little feedback from people sometimes, you know, and they get frustrated at work. You know, work can be somewhat stressful. And, you know, morale can go down. You know, well, I've probably worked around people with attitude. Sometimes we've been a person with an attitude, right? All those things come in. So, you know, a lot of big companies have tried something new, and it's been around for a while. And, you know, a couple things they've done is, you know, take your pet to work day. You know, I've seen that, and I really don't know how that goes, you know, but I don't think that's a good idea, but it is a good way to find out who the cat people are, right? That is one thing you can do with it. Another thing they've done is take your kids to work day. You know, I thought that was kind of a novel idea. You know, parents take their kids to work, and, you know, a lot of them, you know, probably take their kids and dress them all up and, you know, maybe take a few of their ward papers with them and show them off to all their peers that they work with all the time. You know, or maybe also they, it's good for the kids to see that their parents actually, you know, do have a job, you know, and they're working hard for them and the family. So I thought this was a great idea. So I went to my kids and I said, you know, we're going to have, you know, a take your kid to work day. And they thought I said, make your kid work day. And they went and hid in the closet till I left. You know, so it didn't work for me. So I couldn't really have that fun and fulfillment of having my kids work with me. Now, I'm just kidding. My kids did help me every now and then. They're good workers. But I think kids and pets at work would be a distraction. Don't you? I think it would. I think that would, you know, cause a lot of conflict. But, you know, I was just researching on the internet a little bit and look at some things that, you know, are considered distractions at work. And there's a lot of them. You know, the lie of multitasking, you know, trying to listen to music or do different things and do multiple things at once. Some people think they're good at it, but statistics show that they can't because your mind can only focus on one thing at a time. And so if you have too many distractions, you know, you're not going to be able to accomplish things, you know, that you need. And today, we have a lot of problems with social media and texting. You know, that's a distraction. You know, I know that some people are so obsessed with their phones, they just can't be without them, the fear of missing out all the time. And they're texting and they're doing things at work that they, you know, sneak in their phone. You know, how many's driven through a stoplight and you look over next to you and you're meeting somebody and they're looking down, and you know they're not looking at their feet. You know, I think we've all made the mistake of looking at our phones maybe at the wrong time, but, you know, it can really cause some problems, you know, not only at work but other places. You know, sometimes audible email or text alerts. You know, how many's got a beep and you're there talking to somebody, you're just dying to look at that thing because you're expecting maybe an important call or an important message from somebody. You know, so those can be all distractions. And so I think we, especially as Christians, and I have my opinion about this, and I believe it lines up with God's word, is the fact that we need to be the best we can be at work. You know, our goal should be to make our boss money, especially if you work for yourself, amen? You know, but you need to be there, and you want to try to see your boss prosper so that you also can prosper. Now, we had a saying in the trades when I worked, 8 for 8 and don't be late. 8 hours work for 8 hours pay, and you show up on time. And that's not common all the time at work, is it? You know, we as believers, you know, need to do a better job because it's a day's work for a day's pay. Now, like I said, that volleyball team that we played, you know, whatever you put your hand to do, do it with all your might. You know, we need to really try hard. You know, I know that it does show up. If you show up at work and you do a good time, I know things can happen. But I do know this, that, you know, God will honor you. You know, you may be working for a bad boss spiritually, but, you know, in the sense where they're not treating you with respect. But, you know, we work for the ultimate boss, and that's God, and he'll treat us right spiritually. So if we can keep that attitude right, I think we're going to be good. Another problem we have at work is that we don't get along with others sometimes. That can be a problem at work. You know, workplace violence almost. It's not quite that bad, but, you know, some big blow-ups can happen at work. When two people don't see eye to eye, perhaps on how to do something or whatever the case may be, they don't like taking orders. You know, we've all lived life long enough to probably accept the fact that, you know, some people are just harder to get along with than others. But I believe as Christians, we need to be of the persuasion where we need to live by example. I believe God's called us for a better purpose. And God has done a lot of great things in our lives, and we need to let our light shine And that's an important thing to the world. So I don't think as Christians, we don't need to be lazy or we don't need to be late all the time. Because that's an important thing. Because people look at you and they judge you and they judge your walk. And we're going to look at that a little bit more. Because Colossians, the next scripture I want to look at, Colossians 4, verse 5 and 6. Now, we are Christians, and God has called us to evangelize the world. He has called us to reach out. But I tell you what, there's a lot of people, if they don't respect you, and if they don't really believe, and if you're living two lives, it's going to taint your witness to them. And we want to, I don't know about you, but I want to lead as many people to Christ as I can. So if I need to make some modifications in my life, then I'm willing to do so. The Bible says here in Colossians 4, verse 5 and 6, it says, conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Now, that's an excellent scripture on telling us how you and I are to deal with unbelievers. People have not come into the faith yet, because that's what it's talking about. There's a lot of them out there. And you and I, to some degree, are responsible for the people that are around us. When I used to work, I remember one place that, you know, if we're doing 8 for 8, but it did say a sign that said, if you want to see the dead come to life, be here at 4:30, right? You ever heard that one? You know, people lollygag and piddle around at work, but when it gets about quitting time, all of a sudden they got some fire. You know, but we need to be a witness to those around us. So the scripture tells us that you and I need to take opportunities that come our way to influence others. Now, I don't know if you've realized this yet, but primarily when you're at work, that is probably your prime time of the day. You know, you get up early, maybe, and you go to work, and you're there during the daylight hours. Some people have to work nights, and that's a tough shift. But, you know, you're there during the prime time of your life. You spend a lot of time with the people you work with. And you've probably noticed that it's an excellent opportunity to build relationships with other people. You know, to be able to, you know, get to know them and, you know, maybe try to influence them, because that's really what we need to do. And, you know, as we do things together, I don't know about you, but it kind of brings a connection. It brings a connection with that other person that you're accomplishing, hopefully, great things. Now, what we need to remember as believers is the Emmanuel part of this, the God with us or the God with me. See, when we're at work, God is with us. Sometimes we may not feel him all the time. Sometimes we may just kind of wonder, God, where are you at in this situation? You know, why is this going on? But nevertheless, the Bible says he's never going to leave us or forsake us. So we need to have faith and we need to have confidence that God is with us. And he's even with us at work. And if we remember that, then I believe we're going to find success. So where I get from that is that every day needs to be take your God to work day in what you do. What it is, it's a change in the way that we look at things. It's a change in our approach to life and how we work. And as we do that, I believe we're going to be a person of influence, because I found out that God is not a distraction, but God will actually help to give us direction. Because we all need direction in life. And he will direct us. Now, what I see from that, it says, make the most of your opportunity there in Colossians. And it also said, grace to know how to respond to each person. How many know there's a lot of different personalities out there? There is. Different people receive and can be taught in different ways. And if we will listen to the voice of the Spirit, God will give us the grace so that we can respond to somebody. Now, I don't know about you, but it's exciting. The most exciting thing you're going to do. Yeah, it's great, you know, getting saved, and that's a big one in life, and I don't diminish that. And getting married, you know, finding somebody in your life you can build a life with. That's awesome. But I'll tell you, like I've always said, when you lead somebody to Jesus Christ, you'll remember that forever. I can still picture Not all, because I've led a lot of people to the Lord, but I can picture several right now as I'm talking of people that I brought to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'll never forget that as long as I'm on this earth, and I would imagine I'll never forget it for all eternity. Because when we get to heaven, they're going to thank me for sharing with them and being able to influence me so that I would have made a decision myself, the people that did it for me, and then the ones that I've influenced on my own. So it's making that, taking advantage of that opportunity. Now, I don't believe that you go to work and cheat your boss. I'm just going to say that as a disclaimer. You know, when I lived in Denver and we worked for an electrical company, there was a guy that I worked with, and he just came in kind of late, and he didn't stay very long because they caught him sleeping in a crawl space. You know, he was a Christian, and he thought his ministry was to go out and do some things and, you know, kind of deliverance and things like this. So he's up late at night, and he would come to work, and then instead of working, you know, he'd go hide. Well, he got canned. You know, and that was a tough one because he would tell people he was a Christian. And then the unbelievers would kind of use that. You know, I remember also a time when I first started with this company that God used me there to influence, you know, several people at that job. And I remember when I first started, and just so happened that one of the guys that was right ahead of me, he had went to the same church that where I went and got saved and, you know, went to Bible school and things like this. So when they hired me, and, you know, within the first week, they were just jumping on me. Because the guy ahead of me, one week, he would come to work, tell them how much money he gave to the church. Well, the next week, you know, he would go to the bar with them and spend all his money at the bar. And so they just didn't think those two things added up in them. Here he's preaching to them one week, trying to kind of a holier-than-thou attitude. Then the next week he was off doing things, you know, and you know, just doing crazy stuff. Now, I'm not saying you can't go to a bar. That's your business and stuff like that. But it does taint your witness, you know, if you're preaching the gospel to somebody. And what happened there is it took me a little bit of time, but over a process of time, they would see that through consistency, I wore them down. They could see that, you know, not all Christians are like that. You know, some Christians can be consistent. And I believe that's important, consistency in our life. And, you know, it's a work in process. I didn't, you know, start being consistent. You know, I started off, you know, being just as rowdy and wild as everybody else. But I'll tell you what, once I let God start to take control of my life and start to move in my life, there were some things that, you know, started to change, that he started to rearrange in my life. That was very, very life-changing, just to put it in other words, because a yo-yo Christian is kind of a dangerous thing. Now, we can have that happen. You know, mountains and valleys are going to come in our life. We've all faced and been on the mountain just shouting to the, you know, glory to God, hallelujah. Oh, it's so exciting to be a Christian. Then all of a sudden, you know, you hit a valley. Some sort of attack comes. Maybe somebody, you know, does something to you, and all of a sudden you're kind of down a little bit. Those will come, but I don't think they should come in the same day all the time. You know what I mean? I mean, how many know? I mean, that there's some people that just let that happen in their life. They just live by their emotions. We can't do that. You know, like I said a while back on a sermon, I heard this or something. I heard a paraphrase of it, and I tweaked it a little bit. You know, don't just feel, think. Amen? Sometimes we got to think a little bit. You know, what's the big picture? You know, what's the big picture here? Am I trying to lead people to Christ? Am I trying to see them want to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? The people, and I'll be honest, I get attached to people I work with. You know, when I worked out in construction, I remember one time there was kind of a threat going around, not a threat, but there was some doctrine going around that Jesus was coming soon, and I was just a baby Christian, so I didn't sort everything out quite right. And I was worried that Jesus was going to come, and I was working with this guy. He had to be, I mean, he looked old. I mean, he's probably my age. No, he's older than me. But he's one of those old carpenters that wore the old bib, you know, carpenter thing and had the attachment where you could put the nail pouch on the front. I mean, he'd been a carpenter a long time. You know, just a real nice guy, but his heart was so hard. towards Jesus Christ for some reason. And I remember, and this was back in 1988, and some of you might know the doctrine that was floating around then, you know, why that fear came. There was somebody went around say, you know, I don't know how, 88 reasons why Jesus is coming to 1988. You know, I think I got saved in 1984, so I wasn't too bright yet, you know. I knew enough to be dangerous. But, I just loved that guy. He was like a grandpa to figure. And I wanted to see him saved. But he didn't. He didn't want to. And you can't change that sometimes. All you can do is live the life in front of them and share with them that you can. Don't cheat your boss. It's 8 for 8. Don't be late, right? But there's always opportunities, I believe, that God can give us at break time and after work and during lunch where you can maybe share the truth if it doesn't affect your work and to get involved in people's lives. So consistency is important. Now, the last scripture I want to look at today is found in 1 Kings 19. That's in the Old Testament, and it's verse 11 and 12. 1 Kings 19, verse 11 and 12. And it's about the prophet Elijah. Amen. There's Elisha and Elijah. This is Elijah. He says, "So he said, go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord was passing by, and a great and strong wind was rending the mountains and the breaking the pieces of the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of a gentle blowing." Okay, this is Elijah. And he was a mighty prophet of God. God used him in a mighty way. But I think that sometimes you and I forget the God with me, and we get the Elijah syndrome. The Elijah syndrome. Now, Elijah was one of those guys who went from the mountain to the valley pretty quick. And, you know, a little bit about his story is that, you know, Elijah, God had spoke to him earlier in the chapters here to go and to deal with this situation. Now, the children of Israel were much like the United States today. They were double-minded. You know, they would serve Jehovah or God as we serve Jesus Christ, the Trinity, just to put a full disclaimer out there, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. But then they just served Jehovah back then, and then they would also serve Baal. I guess they were just trying to cover all the bases, you know. So at one moment they would be chasing after the true God, and then the rest of the time they'd be offering up sacrifices and worshiping, you know, Baal. And so what happened was, is God spoke to Elijah, and it was time that God wanted his people to make a choice. He wanted to make a choice. Now, what Elijah did is that he went up there and he says, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a test. We're going to see who the true God is. So he challenged the prophets of Baal to go up, and this was on a mountain, and he challenged them to call down fire upon this sacrifice they put out there. They put out a sacrifice. And he called on the prophets of Baal, and he gave them plenty of time. They was out there chanting, jumping around, you know, trying to get Baal. And then Elijah, he was kind of mischievous a little bit. He was taunting them. Maybe he's asleep. Scream louder. You know, he was just trying to get them, you know. And then everybody was just watching these guys make a fool out of themselves because they was chasing after a false god that had no power. Well, then it come time for the evening sacrifice. And it was Elijah's turn. So Elijah went up there. And then instead of calling down fire, he said, bring water. We're going to do it the hard way. 3 times he had them dump water on the wood. And then after that was done, Elijah prayed to his God. And God answered with fire and licked up the sacrifice. Well, everybody could see who the real God was. I don't know about you, but calling down fire is on my bucket list of things to do. Amen? I mean, I want to do that. That's awesome. I want to see God glorified, you know, with what I do. You know, maybe there's a little pride in there. I'm trying to weed that out right now. But I mean, I just want to see God move powerfully, you know, in people's lives. And everybody knows who the true God is. because I believe we serve him. Well, right after that, you'd think he'd just be on a roll, you know what I'm saying? Well, he was a little bit. Then he said it could rain. Before that, he said it couldn't rain. Then he allowed it to rain. And then he outran a chariot to town. Well, after that, he caught wind, Jezebel. Jezebel didn't like it because But after he called down fire, he killed the prophets, the false prophets, slew them. Well, then Jezebel, those were her prophets. She was of the false religion. So then she got mad and she threatened him. And he ran. He ran away from Jezebel. Now, looking back, it just looks silly. Because here he called down fire and he killed all these false prophets. Then he ran from Jezebel. But I guess before we throw stones at Elijah, let's look back at our life. Right? Sometimes we get all excited, glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. We're just excited about what God's doing. Then we go out in the world and our emotions change. And then we run from God or we hide the light that's in us. Well, you would think, you know, what I see from that is what we looked at is Elijah went from the mountain to the valley, right? The mountain to the valley. And that's kind of what we've been looking at here in this series. And what had happened with him is that Jezebel, she had went out and killed supposedly all the prophets of God, but there was a guy that hid some of them, around 100 at least, and there might have been others in other places. But what happened with Elijah after he ran from the woman, he kind of got the I'm the only one mentality. You know what I'm talking about? You know, a lot of times us Christians can get that I'm the only one mentality. I remember talking to somebody one time, and they were just sitting there and boo-hooing about this and boo-hooing about that. And they said, I'm the only Christian at my work. I said, dude, you're self-employed. Step it up. You know what I'm saying? That's how we get sometimes. Now, I know many of you work at big factories, and there's a lot of people there, but I know a lot of Christians that work at big factories and say, I'm the only Christian at my work, and I just usually tell them, and unless you work for Satan Services or Diablo Incorporated, you know, you're not the only Christian there. Maybe the reason why you don't know any other Christians is because they don't see you being a Christian. Ouch. Right? You know, we need to know that we're not the only one. And there's other people out there, and that's why we need to connect with each other. And I have heard some great testimonies of Christians who, you know, get together at lunchtime and different things and, you know, get in the Word a little bit, or maybe they pray together for their fellow co-workers. You know, prayer changes things, people. It changes hearts. It changes our heart first for when we pray, but also it can have an effect on other people's lives. And we need to do that and find other people to hook up with and do it. Now, I don't know about you, but after Elijah had called down the fire and, you know, God had, you know, deputized him to be the great spokesman on his behalf, and then, you know, Elijah ran and went and hid, you know, you think God would have kicked him to the curb. Wouldn't you? Come on, be honest. You'd have probably went and found somebody else, somebody more faithful. But God didn't do that. And see, I want us to see that, you know, maybe we have failed God. Maybe we haven't lived up to our potential yet. But what God did is God sent angels to him. He sent angels to restore him and to build him up again. And then after he had fed him and gave him some water, that was enough stuff. It lasted him for 40 days. But then God said, go up to this mountain. And God was going to give Elijah a heavy revy. What a heavy revy is God was going to impart to him something that is so powerful and so profound, it was going to change his life. And I believe if we see this, it'll change our life today. So God took him up to that mountain, and then God showed up. I love it when God shows up. Well, what happened was God showed up in a powerful wind. That wind was so strong, it was breaking rocks. But then it says, God was not in the wind. Huh. Well, then God showed up with an earthquake. A whole lot of shaking going on, right? Just shook everything. But then it says, God was not in the earthquake. Well, then the fire. We know God's in the fire because, you know, God, you know, just, you know, burned that sacrifice and, you know, all that. So God showed up in the fire. But then God wasn't in the fire. So where's God? Well, then there was just a gentle wind, a small little blowing, and that's where God was. God was in the whisper. He was in the whisper. And he spoke to Elijah. And he wanted to get that revelation. I believe that you and I need to get that revelation. That you and I so many times depend on something big or something powerful and supernatural to know it's God. But God says, I'm not in that all the time. Sometimes I am. But I'm in the gentle wind. I'm in the closeness. Now, I don't know about you, but if somebody whispers, especially as I get older, I got to get real close. I can't hear unless I'm close. And see, God wants us to see that when he whispers to us, we need to get close to him. Now, the good news is he's already there. He's inside of us. Emmanuel, God with us. But I want us to see it's got to be God in me. We need to see that it's God in me, that I'm never alone. He'll never forsake me. That he's with me wherever I go. And he's going to lead me and guide me to everything that I need. And as we do that, we're going to see that God can be with us in the ordinary. That's why I say take your God to work day. Be knowledgeable of the ever-present one. Don't just think we have to sing a few songs to feel the presence of God. Don't feel that you need to just go into your prayer closet and get away from everybody to feel the presence of God. Those are things we should be doing. But I want you to know, and I can guarantee it, because God does it in my life, and he's not a respecter of persons, he'll do it in yours, that God can be with you where you work, anytime during the day. I get most of my prophetic revelation from God, not in the prayer closet, or not during worship. It's when I'm out doing just the basic things, and God speaks to my heart, and I'm smart enough, I jot it down. That's why I have a smartphone, because I can't read my writing. You know, I've learned not to write stuff down. I've learned to put it on. I use OneNote, you know. I don't even have to type. I can speak into it. You know, it's easy for me. But when God speaks to me, I record it, and then I go back and look at it. See, that's a gentle wind blowing in my life, when God is telling me something. And I know that God wants to talk to you. So all we have to do is remember it's God with me. He's with me every step of the way, and we need to learn how to practice his presence. Let's pray.